Hello friends, welcome to VSchool once again. We are on chapter 2 in which we are going to understand the agricultural markets in India. In the first chapter, we saw the basic concepts of agricultural price risk, the different types of risk, the challenges, opportunities and solutions in agricultural price risk management. In this chapter, we are going to understand the evolution of agricultural markets. When we talk in terms of evolution of agricultural markets, it had sustained different types of situations and come out flying colors to give us the most modern contemporary agricultural markets. So along with evolution, we are also going to understand the traditional agricultural markets and the contemporary agricultural markets. We'll understand the challenges because of this revolution that has happened in agricultural markets, as well as the future prospects in agricultural markets. So let's start with understanding how this evolution of agricultural market has happened over time. When we talk about agricultural markets, traditionally it was for subsistence. When we talk about subsistence, farmers used to cultivate whatever crops for their own produce, and if any surplus, they would be selling it locally to other consumers, maybe in turn of some other goods they had, which could be useful for the farmers. So it was a sort of subsistence-based activity for farmers, which helped them to manage their own needs as well as to fulfill their other needs with exchange of the crops they produced. So early agrarian market had features of surplus production and new techniques. When we talk about new techniques, this could be with technology, this could be with some sort of revolution like that happened in the Green Revolution, but these were named specifically after post-independence. But when we talk about early agrarian market, these were even before the independence and the British colonial rule. In this early agrarian market, the surplus production was generated by newer techniques in agriculture, purely coming out of creativity of the farmers. Farm produce was sold directly to the consumers or local traders. They needed more storage and transportation facilities. And since there were no contemporary markets like online markets in the present times, farmers had to depend upon intermediaries for selling and distributing their farm produce. And this could result into exploitation of farmers by the intermediaries. Then we come to directly the British colonial rule, because the Britishers encouraged agriculture specifically for certain crops such as the cash crops, more specifically the cotton. However, that would also result into exploitation of farmers because of their land revenue collection. Farmers have to shell out a larger part of their income in paying the land revenue, which was also a challenge for them. Post-independence saw special initiatives by the government for agricultural development and food security. The first important transformation happened in the form of green revolutions in the 1960s and 1970s, where high-yielding varieties of seeds causing larger agricultural production and transforming a food deficit nation to a self-sufficient one. So in spite of the huge population we have, India could produce enough grains for fulfilling the needs, and we did not have to import food grains specifically for feeding our population. Our production was sufficient for taking care, and it served as a food security. The government interventions set minimum support prices. Farmers cooperatives empowered farmers to negotiate and bargain for their common requirements. Growing awareness of environmental sustainability happened, and many other things shaped the Indian agriculture as well as the markets in the present forms. The main reasons for shaping of agricultural markets because of shifts in the consumer preferences. As the consumer become literate and aware about the nutrition that is required for the body for keeping them fit, the preferences are required, the tracing of the elements that are put into the production, the tracing of the production date, and the availability of those food grains for a specific period, the nutritional content of the food grains, and so many other things which actually inspired farmers to produce things as required by the consumers. The socio-economic changes happening around encourage farmers to focus on farm activities wherein the rural population was deployed for farming activities. Many of them took the knowledge through formal channels such as the agricultural colleges. This included upskilled and upgraded society to take care of agriculture. Technological advancements further enabled farmers to increase production, to safeguard the crops, to ensure that they monitor the soil health, as well as they can transport their farm produce at a longer distance. Political factors also resulted into shaping agricultural markets, because any government that came, they wanted agriculture to be sustained, because that was a major factor for taking care of food security. Globalization opened the doors for distribution of agricultural produce to a wider consumer across the globe. Expansion of agricultural markets beyond the local and regional boundaries encouraged growth of agriculture, and advances in transportation and industrial revolution in 18th and 19th century ensured that farmers can actually send their farm produce across the boundaries of the country, is largely because of liberalization, globalization, and privatization of business, which also included some aspect of agriculture. Agricultural produce market committees, as they are popularly called as APMCs, ensured that farmers get a regulated market, a specified area wherein they can buy and sell the farm produce and other equipments required for agriculture. This was further taken with the ENAM, National Agricultural Markets, online trading platforms, which integrated all the AMCs nationwide. The restrictions of farmers doing their trading at a particular place was removed. They had large market participants to connect with their farm produce, enter into buying and selling deals through standardized contracts on the commodity exchanges, and overall, in addition to the government initiatives, government also encouraged the private sector as well as the foreign investments to contribute to the growth and development of agricultural markets. So right from the subsistence stage to the support from government, private sector, as well as foreign investment, the agricultural market is shaping itself to match the consumer preferences, to maintain good quality and quantity of from production, to safeguard the income of the farmers, and to generate good inputs for the growth of not only the agricultural sector, but the economy as a whole. However, despite this progress, Indian agriculture markets are facing several challenges, the number one being the fragmented land holdings. Because the land is limited, however, after growth of the family and the passing on the land to the next generation, the same land gets distributed amongst the family members, and as a result, over a period of time, it has resulted into fragmented land holdings. The farmer as a whole has a lesser area to cultivate. Inadequate market infrastructure. Our country is such huge, it has made a lot of progress, but still a lot of things are to be done compared to the developed countries when we talk in terms of adequate market infrastructure. There is a huge price volatility because of the uncertainty in the price as well as the other factors related with demand and supply. Income inequality is causing another problem when it comes to the agricultural markets. Lesser direct marketing channels causes problems for the consumers to understand where the best quality and at what better price the farm producer is available. There are post-harvest losses happening because of inadequate infrastructure, transportation and storage, and the climate change is also having a serious impact on agriculture, which is not in control of the farmer. Larger picture in agriculture, if you want to see, yes, there is a progression towards greater efficiency in farm operations, greater connectivity and integration in farming activities, and there has been a catalytic support from various market participants, including the government and the private sector, for sustainable agricultural practices, technological advancement, market diversification, inclusive policies, and globalization. So friends, having understood this overview of evolution of agricultural markets, now let's understand the basic concepts on the structure of agricultural markets. When we talk about structure of agricultural markets, this has also evolved over a period of time. It has an underlying framework. It enables the stakeholders to interact. It allows the movement of agricultural products from the farm gate to the consumers through various market distributors. Farmers can gain valuable insights and market intelligence and decide which market channels to be deployed, which market mechanisms to be used, and it helps them to navigate different challenges and seize opportunities to see that they get a better price for the farm produce and consumers ultimately benefit from it. If we have to list out the various factors that are related to market structure, the market size, the level of development, the number of participants, the product type, the demand patterns, product differentiation, supply chains, barriers to entry, competitive landscape, government policies, all factors can impact the market structure. A market size can decide what type of marketing facilities is available. It can be a small market at the gramin level, or it can be an APMC at a city level. The level of development of the market will decide what facilities are available for the market participants. The number of participants will help a better price discovery. The product type and the quality will ensure what demand it will meet of the consumer. The demand patterns will help the farmer to decide which crop to be cultivated and what could be the time of harvest. The product differentiation will ensure farmer get the best price for the better quality. The supply chain will ensure the minimum spoilage and distribution of the farm produce to the right people at the right time. Barriers to entry will decide which market participant can enter a market and distribute. So whoever are not able to enter the market will have to face certain challenges. Competitive landscape will encourage the farmer to ensure that he provides the best farm produce to the market where consumer pay a better price. And the government policies will decide whether farmers are provided with better infrastructure, pricing, as well as support for taking this farming activity. So friends, knowledge of market structure will help us to decide which type of market structure should be utilized for the distribution of farm produce. It will help to identify and mitigate risk associated with agricultural production and marketing, implement risk management strategies, identify innovation and technology adoption opportunities, tailor products to meet specific market demands, as well as optimize supply chains and distribution network. When we talk about different structures of agriculture market, it can be a fragmented market, it can be a perfect competition, it can be a monopolistic competition, it can be an oligopoly, or even it can be a developed market. What does this mean? When we talk about a fragmented market, it is bound to have poor infrastructure, high transaction cost, inefficient price discovery, price volatility, uncertainty for farmers. In terms of perfect competition, it will have efficient price discovery where all participants can access perfect information. In a monopolistic competition, many sellers offer differentiated products and compete. In an oligopoly market, imperfect competition where few large buyers or sellers control a significant share. In terms of developed markets, competitive markets with efficient price discovery mechanisms, efficient allocation of resource, hedging against price risk, all this are available in a developed market. So though these structures are different, we need to identify what type of structure fits in a particular region. For a particular farmer, it can be specifically one or can mix of all this together. How does the structure of agriculture market impact a farmer? Because the structure determines the access and the opportunities to sell their produce. When we talk about a monopolistic market, smaller farmer may not have a say. But it comes to developed market, even a small farmer can get a better price with a wider access to the market. He will have many opportunities to sell the produce. It ensures fairness by influencing the price discovery. It exposes farmers to various risks because higher risk, higher returns. So based on the farmer's risk appetite and tolerance for risk, he may decide to enter a particular type of market. It also empowers farmers by enhancing their bargaining power, increases their efficiency as well as resource allocation. The structure of the market also influences farmers' access to the inputs, services, and resources. He will be able to decide as to how much money he should invest into the inputs for the agriculture, into the services that will be deployed right from cultivation till the harvest, till the distribution, and the quality of resource to generate the quality output. It determines the value addition and market differentiation opportunities, because nowadays farmers don't just actually get revenue from the farm produce. He can actually send his produce to the processors for value addition in the products, and this can also create a newer stream and different opportunity for the farmer in differentiating the products. He can participate in formal markets based on regulatory frameworks like the APMCs and the ENAM. So having understood the basic structure of the market, now let us understand the key elements of the agricultural markets. When we talk about key elements, they can be categorized into three main elements. One is the market player, without which agriculture market cannot exist. Second is the market channel through which the players will operate. And third is the market mechanisms, which will set the pricing and the settlement of the trades that are entered into by the market players. So let's understand by one. Let's look at the first key element of the agricultural market structure. And the first key element is the market players. The market players include the farmers, the intermediaries, the wholesalers, the retailers, the processors, the cooperatives, as well as the government agencies. Let's look at this one by one. Farmers are the primary producers of agricultural products. Without farmers, there can be no agribusiness. Farmers cultivate agricultural products and sell their farm produce to the buyers. This selling can happen through wholesalers, retailers, processors, exporters, as well as consumers. With times, with literacy on modern concepts like biodiversity, protection of ecosystem, farmers are deploying newer methods and strategies for protecting the biodiversity, promoting ecosystem health, as well as preserving local food cultures and identities. Intermediaries. When we talk about intermediaries, during the initial market structures, farmers had to depend upon intermediaries for selling their farm produce, because intermediaries provided farmers access to the markets as well as valuable market insights. Intermediaries connected farmers with buyers and facilitated transactions in agricultural markets. They ensured agricultural produce's timely delivery and efficient movement from farms to the markets with their networking. Some intermediaries also provided financial services and ensured compliance with regulatory requirements. Next important element is the wholesalers. When it comes to buying large quantities of agricultural produce from farmers, wholesalers play a very important role, because wholesalers have large storage warehouses where they can buy produce from the farmers at a lesser price, and then they can actually distribute it to the consumers through the retailers. They regulate the supply, preventing price volatility, and sell the farm produce to the retailers and processors. When we talk about retailers, retailers are the final link between the producers and consumers. They also have an important responsibility to maintain the availability and freshness of the farm produce for fulfilling the orders from the consumers. They organize product categories, promotions, as well as loyalty programs to ensure that the farm produce that they receive from the producers is sold at a better price without spoilage or losses to them. They provide better customer service to consumers for product selection and handling of complaints or returns. With the growth and development of agriculture sector, a new element in the market structure has evolved in the form of processors who are leveraged by technology. They transform the raw agricultural products into value-added goods. They make them ready for consumption according to consumer tastes and preferences. It enhances the product quality, extend the shelf life, and create new market opportunities. It also gives consumers to choose the product they want based on their taste and preferences, and that encourages the processors to create newer flavors out of the produce they get from the farm to meet the taste and ensure profitability in their sale. Next important element is a cooperative. Cooperatives provide collective representation and bargaining power, because a single farmer may not have a stronger voice than a collective representation. It facilitates transactions on behalf of the members when it comes to a transport, when it comes to buying in bulk, when it comes to even marketing. Some cooperatives also supply farmers with agricultural inputs, offer technical assistance and timing of and training to farmers to embrace better agricultural practices. Another important element is the government agencies. The laws that are enacted, the standards that are designed, the regulations that are implemented are done with the support from government agencies. The government agencies formulate agricultural policies and strategies to support the farm sector's growth. They establish a framework for food safety, quality assurance, and implement price stabilization measures which ensures stable income for the farmers. Government agencies also offer financial support and credit facilities to the farmers. When it comes to financial support, it can come in the form of subsidies. When it comes to credit facilities, it can be coming through the banks or financial institutions. They also invest in agricultural research, innovation, and technology development, which is very, very important, because the collective research, the collective innovations, the collective technology enables farmers to increase the production efficiency as well as the distribution to the consumers. Having understood the market players, now let us look at the second element, which are the market channels. These market channels have also evolved with the market structures. Initially, we have the traditional agricultural markets, but with the growth in industries, with the growth in technology, with the growth in infrastructure, contemporary agricultural markets have evolved. Another important channel in the modern times is direct-to-consumer sales, where farmers don't have to depend upon the intermediaries. They can directly go to consumers, or consumer directly come to the farm gates. Cooperative marketing, which is another important collective marketing channel for the farmers. Wholesale agricultural markets, wherein larger quantities are dealt with. Retail agricultural markets, which can be superstores, which can be retail channels where the farm produce can be distributed. Institutional markets helps the farmers to sell to the institutions. Contract farming helps the farmers to pre-decide a price before actually sowing at specific terms and conditions entered into with the sponsor. Specialty markets are for niche agricultural commodities to get a premium price. Agritourism encourages farmers to avail their farm for tourism purpose and create another revenue stream. Export markets, as we saw in the previous chapter, surplus production, the quality production is in great demand in the global markets, and that opens another revenue stream for the farmers. Now let's look at this again one by one. We have, in addition to the specialty markets and agritourism and export markets as described in the previous part, we also have another type of market which is local and urban. When we talk about local market, this specifically is the farm gate. When we talk about urban markets, these are the markets that are for the benefit of the urban consumers. Then we also have formal markets and informal markets. Formal markets we have seen in the form of APMCs. Informal markets might not be regulated. APMC mandis are a special type of regulated markets, and the INAM or the national agricultural markets are connecting the APMCs, providing online buying and selling to a wider audience. And finally, the Gramin agricultural markets, where farmers cannot go to APMCs, the Gramin agricultural market is a big boon for them because it lets them sell their farm produce at the farm gates with different benefits of selling the crops locally. Now let's look at each one of these channels one by one. First, the traditional agricultural markets. When we talk about traditional agricultural markets, they are based on the local customs, they are based on the cultural practices as well as the socio-economic dynamics. They are largely informal, and when we talk about largely informal, they are not as regulated as like the APMC market, and it has a decentralized structure because each region can have its own terms, its own production, and its own ways to settle the deal, and it relies largely on face-to-face transactions. Exactly opposite to the traditional markets are the contemporary agricultural markets, which are the outcome of globalization, technological advancements, and changing consumer preferences. They are diverse and dynamic nature. They incorporate traditional channels along with the modern innovations. So they don't leave out the traditional channels. Traditional channels can also be a part of the contemporary markets. Through online channels, online sales happen. Such sales can also originate in supermarkets and hypermarkets, more specifically in the cities. Commodity exchanges are an important aspect of contemporary markets wherein standardized contracts can be executed for trading in agricultural commodities. Another type of channel can be direct-to-consumer sales. When we talk about direct-to-consumer sales, farmers can sell the produce directly to consumers without any intermediaries. The best part of it is consumers can get fresh farm produce at a reasonable price. On-farm sales, roadside stands, farmers markets are the best avenues for consumers to go directly to the farm outlets for buying fresh produce from the farmers directly. It establishes direct relationship with the consumers and in turn fetches good price for the farmers too. Another channel is cooperative marketing. Cooperative marketing is farmers are actually doing collective market operations for their farming activity. They pool resources, which can be in the form of inputs, which can be in the form of processing, which can be in the form of distribution. They negotiate better prices and terms with the buyers by participating in cooperative marketing arrangements. So all together benefit right from cultivation to the harvesting. Wholesale agricultural markets, as we have seen in some previous slides, farmers can sell their agricultural produce in bulk. Because large-scale storage is available with wholesalers, it facilitates large-scale trading, aggregation of produce and price discovery mechanisms. Retail agriculture markets helps farmers to sell produce to the consumers through supermarkets, grocery stores, convenience stores, specialty food shops, and food service establishments. So these supermarkets, grocery stores, convenience stores, specialty food shops, food service establishments act as retail agricultural market for the consumers. They provide a wide range of fresh and processed food products. Institutional markets also offer farmers to sell their produce to institutions. It could be schools, hospitals, prisons, military facilities, and government agencies, wherein these institutions have specific requirements for a larger period wherein they can have a direct deal with the farmers to supply them one time or periodically. Contract farming is a new way of helping farmers to get the better price for their farm produce even before sowing the seeds. A predetermined specification and price is fixed in this contract farming agreement. The contract farming producer does the farming. The contract farming sponsor purchases the farm produce. The producer and the sponsor has an agreement that decides the specification and price. Specialty markets, farmers can sell their produce to the niche consumers and get a premium price for the specialty products. The specialty products largely are from the organic farming and the natural farming. Agri-tourism creating newer opportunities, because initial people used to tour places from the sake of beauty of that place or historical significance. But nowadays, these farm visits are becoming a newer attraction for experiencing a pollution-free environment, for tasting the farm cuisine, and for experiencing the life with the farmer. So on-farm experiences and the valued services to the consumers provided on the farm is creating newer opportunity in agritourism and new stream for farmer for earning revenue. Export markets, as we have seen, farmers are producing surplus. India is becoming an exporter of major commodities to the world. Farmers can sell their agricultural produce to international buyers and foreign governments. Farmers can access larger markets, diversify their consumer base, and capitalize on the global demand. Local markets are largely located in rural areas, which provides a platform for farmers to sell farm produce to the consumers. These farmers may not be able to go to larger markets in the cities, and this local markets can help the farmers to get better prices at the farm gates for their produce. Urban markets specifically are created out of the urbanization, where locally grown foods produced within a city, or say it's surrounding near to the city, is sold directly to consumers through the farm stands, mobile trucks or cars, and even on online marketplaces. This offers a wide range of fresh agricultural produce, packaged foods, and value-added goods specifically for the tastes and preferences of the urban consumers. Next, we have the formal markets. When we talk about formal markets, they operate under the regulatory framework. It facilitates bulk trading, processing, and storage for domestic and international markets. Informal markets specifically operate in rural areas. It can also operate in urban slums. They are largely unregulated. They have flexible pricing mechanisms, wide range of agricultural products specifically sold by the street vendors, hawkers, roadside stores, and even small-scale traders. APMC mandis are regulated. They are government-regulated marketplaces overseen by the state government's Agricultural Produce Market Committee. We have a model law for the APMC. There are rules and guidelines for trading activities within the mandis. Control measures are also adopted. Weighbridges are there to weigh the produce, ensure the quality of the produce is maintained. Price discovery is done through open auction. Storage facilities are produced or actually provided by the APMC. And many other facilities are enjoyed by the farmers at the APMC mandis. Farmers can receive a fair price for their produce. It safeguards the interest of the farmers. Any dispute can be resolved, and a farmer in turn has to pay a small fee to improve the market infrastructure. The ENARM, National Agricultural Market, is the latest invention which actually integrates all the APMC mandis from different states and union territories. All these APMCs are connected with each other through a software provided by this ENARM. Uniformity in agricultural marketing is established. It enhances market access, quality assurance, and grading facilities. Transparent and efficient electronic trading is facilitated with ENARM. It eliminates the regional price disparity and provides a level playing field for the farmers for trading in agri commodities. It facilitates real-time price discovery, online bidding and auction, fair prices of agricultural commodities to farmers, and the best part of it is it reduces the transaction cost.